This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
This week, my name is Mike.
What was that?
I don't know.
You like seemed like you were doing normal, and then you were just like, like you stumbled over breathing.
This is episode 184.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
A podcast yeah. About shows and stuff that we watched this week.
Right. I got some shows where I had like lots of notes because I was at work and I was able to just sit there and like pay attention and type the notes. And then I had some where I was like, yeah, The Outer Worlds came out. And so, you know, I'm kind of splitting my focus.
Yeah, this week I didn't really seem to have as much time to watch stuff, which is odd because I feel like I just didn't seem like I had time to watch stuff this week.
No, I didn't either, honestly. Like, it was a rough week all around for doing stuff and watching stuff, but... Like, I only got two movies in, but...
I don't watch any movie. Well...
They were just reruns.
I watched Toy Story 4.
Okay.
We got it from the Red Box. We watched it with the kids.
And you had seen that in the drive-in.
Yeah. I mean, like, Saturday afternoon, we had a bunch of kids over here, so it's not like I sat and watched TV. I did schoolwork, and we're outside, and...
Yeah. And I had a friend who had never seen Zombieland. I was praising Zombieland, too, so I was like, well, let's watch Zombieland. And same thing with, I was going to say Love and Thunder, but Thor Ragnarok. Like, great movie to throw on.
I think that's my favorite Marvel movie.
Yeah?
I love that film.
It was damn good.
Yeah.
But I got in some shows.
I did not watch any of the CW shows. I read the
synopsis.
I went on Wikipedia and I read them and I said, you know what? That's good enough. If it's that good, John will tell me and I'll go back and watch it. But I just honestly, I didn't have time.
Nope.
Like, I just had to squeeze in. Remember last night I told you I was having streaming issues. I didn't get to watch Mr. Robot last night.
I was having them tonight.
So I actually had no issues tonight and sat on the couch and watched Mr. Robot with my headphones on, watching on my laptop while the wife watched Friends.
Well, I'm glad that I didn't like start live chatting with you because you had said it's Christmas Eve. This is depressing.
Yeah. Well,
I thought you were following along and a couple times I almost sent a message and I was like, no. Just in case.
Well, that's why I sent you that. I'm having streaming issues.
Oh, and I didn't realize that meant I'm not watching it.
Period. Yeah, I was like, I'm having streaming issues. And then after like 5 minutes of it just... It took me... I don't know. It took like 10 minutes to watch like 2 minutes of the episode.
Dude, even on my TV, like with the live, it was so grainy and pixely, which I hate. I have a very nice TV.
Yep.
And I hate seeing that grainy, pixelated, like the boxes and... Oh, drives me nuts.
Well, I mean, like, the weather shouldn't affect cable, you know?
No, it shouldn't.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I can see it affecting, even that, I can't see it affecting my internet, but, you know, because I have Consolidated Communications. I couldn't remember the name of the company at the moment. But, like, one thing is my antenna, pulling signal out of the air. Right. Rain's going to mess that up.
Right.
Yeah, but anyway, so I just gave up last night, eventually went to bed, because none of it was working. None of my streaming was working well, and
so you read the synopses of the CW shows. Let's just recap them real quick. Batwoman put on her wig.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, did she get the red bat logo on her chest?
I can't remember.
Because if she did, that'd be her costume finally.
Right. Well, she put the red wig on and Alice made sure to say, oh, red like our birthstone. Yay. Cool. And there was a guy who, you know, knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman and he stole a really high powered railgun in a pistol form, which is fucking impossible. That just can't exist. The force. But anyway, and that would be the one thing that could shoot through her armor because, you know, as little Lucius Fox Jr. pointed out, he's like, this is carbon nanotubes and Kevlar. And he says, here we've got a Desert Eagle, and he named the wrong caliber of the Desert Eagle, which was stupid anyway. And then he fired it, and the bullet just went bing and bounced off. Like, there was no tearing of the material or anything. And he's like, see? But then this other gun would have punched right through her. So, you know, she had to stop that. Yeah.
So, Supergirl?
Supergirl. Yeah, Brainy's getting annoying because he kept writing poems for Dreamer, and there was a woman who was special ops because they're all special ops, you know? Nobody can be in the Army.
Right, no one can be a normal person.
Yeah, they can't just be like, oh, he was a Marine. No, they all have to be special ops. So she was special ops and had these tattoos that were spiders all over her, and the spiders could crawl off and crawl into people's skins.
Of course
and,
they
and
could.
Crush a heart. And, you know, gave her spider powers so she could, like, web people up and jump and stuff.
So she was, like, Arachno-woman?
Kind of, yeah.
They can't call her Spider-Woman.
Exactly.
Spider-Girl, Spider-Lady.
But don't worry, because this week, apparently, Michaud Brooks, you know, Jimmy Olsen, is leaving.
Yeah.
He's finally going to be gone.
Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Flash, they finally told the rest of the team about what was going on. Killer Frost, who apparently, you know, there's no more Caitlin. It's just Killer Frost now.
Is that how we're running it?
Yeah.
Because so, I did read access Caitlin's memories. I mean, like, what?
Yeah. She's really pissed because, you know, she just started living and now Barry's telling her that this crisis is coming and everyone's going to die and she doesn't want to die just yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they found a new Harrison Wells, which was the only really cool part of the entire show.
Yeah.
He's like, he's traveling across the multiverse trying to find evidence of other antimatter and other stuff that comes from a different Earth and doesn't belong in this Earth. And yeah, they're getting closer to the crisis, and Barry told everyone that he's got to die in order for the crisis to be stopped. They keep calling it crisis instead of the crisis, and it's kind of bugging me.
Mm-hmm.
Then Arrow, same kind of thing. You know, the Monitor told Oliver, hey, you were just supposed to get the stuff on Earth, too. You weren't supposed to, like, affect things and change Tommy Merlin and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, I'm going to help people. And he's like, that's not what you're here to do. We're trying to stop the crisis from destroying as many Earths as possible. And if you keep going off script, you're going to fuck with shit. And then we find out that Lila Diggle was working with the Monitor and helping him out behind everybody's back.
Helping him up with what?
We don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
There you go. There's the CW shows.
No, see? I knew I would be okay.
Speaking of CW shows, because I know you didn't watch this one, I watched the first episode of Watchmen.
Oh, that's not a CW show, but I see the segue.
Well, it's part of the DC universe.
Right.
As apparented by Doomsday Clock recently.
Yep.
I don't know that you're going to like this show, Mike.
Why?
It's much like Watchmen. It's an alternate take on Earth. It could be, you know, Earth 78
like
or whatever.
I like the Watchmen movie.
Well, here's the thing. This takes a very drastic turn because this one starts off in 1921 in Oklahoma.
Sounds great.
And it's the entire thing is hugely racially bent.
Doesn't surprise me.
Like, we start off in 1921, and out here there's a lot of black people in this town, and there are guys in biplanes chucking pipe bombs. And it's the Klan, basically, and they're dragging black folks through town on the back of cars and blowing them up, blowing up the buildings, and yeah. And then in the current day, police officers all wear masks. They all wear, well, it's interesting because most rank-and-file police officers will wear a yellow bandana over their face so you can just see their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and here's the thing is, like, I read an article and they talked about a website that went up that HBO put up for this that explained some of the stuff that they don't explain in the show. So they were talking about things like how the cops, criminals started recognizing their faces so they'd figure out where they lived and they'd go there and kill their families and stuff. So that's why the cops now wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
But in this world, like, the officers have to get permission to draw their guns. Like, their gun is in their car and it is locked in by a remote lock. So, like, he pulls this guy over and the guy's a hillbilly hick and he sees that, you know, the guy has what looks like a Rorschach mask in his glove compartment. So he has to call in to Panda, who is the arms master, I guess, and like every other cop wears a bandana type thing. Panda wears a giant stuffed panda head on his head. And he has to, like, Panda has to go through this whole thing. And he's like, you know, is there a clear and present danger? And he's like, yes. Do you believe that? Did you see evidence that the suspect is armed? No, but I believe it to be so. Do you believe that there is a credible threat?
And he's dead. Blah.
Well, yeah, just as the gun unlocks, the guy with the pickup truck fires a submachine gun with a massive suppressor on it and just rips up the whole windshield and hits the guy like 30 times in the chest, which somehow he, you know, goes to the hospital and lives through. But it's all that. It's cops versus...
I'm not going to lie. It sounds good so far.
The 7th Cavalry. Okay. Well, I know you're not a big one on political stuff or like versus, you know...
I'm not good on political stuff.
Okay. You remember the Limitless movie?
Yeah, and the TV series.
Okay. Well, in the movie, remember the Russian that fucked with him the whole time
and
then took the pill?
Yeah.
He's in here and he is red. And everybody else dresses like a cop. He has the red tracksuit and he wears a red ski mask, like a woolen ski mask. It's completely like lazy. Like the first time you see him, he's just stuffing a jelly donut in his face. But he's one of the cops as well. It's interesting. I want to see more of it. We see Jeremy Irons as Ozymandias. And he seems to have two, like a butler and a maid. But they both call him Master. And very subserviently, you know, Master, I did this. Master, I did this. And I don't know. It was intriguing enough that I want to see more, but it was definitely not the type of thing where I was like, this is so great. Oh, and they don't – this is, again, something that they don't explain at all in the show, but through the website and then through the article that I read, they explain it. You remember how in the comic they had the squid at the very end?
Yep. Okay,
where they faked it as a trans-dimensional event or extra-dimensional event.
Right.
That the squid appeared. And so apparently, as a result of that happening in the 80s, everybody became completely phobic of technology. So everything in this is very, very low-tech.
I like that.
CBs, corded phones, pagers. You know, there's no cell phone technology or anything like that. Everything looks really old, old, old when there is tech. But ever since then, there will be these random squids. Like they're driving along and all of a sudden they just had to stop because the sky darkened.
Squid!
Yeah. The sky darkened and it started pouring rain. But it wasn't rain. It was these little tiny mini squids. And then they all know what's going on. You know, she got out. She had a plastic scraper and she was scraping them right off her windshield. And again, they don't say a thing about it in the show. It just happens. But if you go to that website, then they talk about how this has been a fallout ever since then, these random squid rainings across the country. So, yeah, I mean, you may actually like it. I just know, again, it's very political.
I plan on giving it a check it out.
Yeah.
I'm checking it out a little bit. I think the big appeal for me is when it's taking place.
Yes.
I think that's the big appeal.
Oh, and they did say this too. Apparently it's not explained in the show, but through the website you can find out. Remember how in the end of the comic, or in the end of the movie as well, Rorschach's journal ended up in the mail bin at that news place. Well, apparently they read it and went, this guy's fucking nuts. Even though it kind of matched up with some of the stuff that had happened with Ozymandias
going on,
they still were like, no, we trust Ozymandias, we don't trust this guy. So it became like a cult following thing. Like there were some extremist groups out there who praised it and thought that it was, you know, beautiful work of art, and they're kind of the 7th Cavalry now. You know, they're the ones who kind of follow Rorschach's teachings that all of this was set in place and the government sucks. And
well, speaking of new shows,
yeah,
I checked out the first episode of Living With Yourself.
I did as well, and then I checked out the next two or three.
Kay wants to check it out, so I'm going to hold off and wait for her to watch before I watch any more.
Okay. What'd you think?
Well, Kay might can hear us, so I'm not going to talk too much, but I'm going to say I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. Yep. I look forward to watching more.
I enjoyed it as well. I won't spoil anything, but I will tell you something that's really cool. Because you know the concept of it.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens is the end of every episode, it'll end at, like, you know, this point right here. Like, say it ends right here on your phone.
Yeah.
Okay? The next episode picks up about 10 minutes before the end of that, told from the other point of view. Sometimes it's even further back. So you might see an entire episode play out, and then the next episode, a lot of the catch-up is from the other point of view. It's kind of cool, actually, because you don't see what's happening until you do.
Well, I definitely want to watch more.
Yep. I'm like three or four episodes in. I like they're only half an hour each.
Yeah. I do enjoy that. That's one of the things that Kate and I, especially her, both enjoy is just the shortness of the episodes.
Yes. I watched the first episode of that Doomsday show on Netflix. You know, the teenagers in the apocalypse. Daybreak, yes.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet. I plan on checking it out.
It's weird.
Oh, you know, I said I didn't watch any movies this week earlier besides Toy Story 4?
Yep.
That's a lie. I did watch two movies, and if I can remember the titles, I'll bring it up later.
Okay.
They were dog shit.
Okay.
Well, maybe not dog shit, but they Fractured. The one on Netflix we keep seeing a lot about. Mm. The guy who takes his wife and daughter to a hospital and he falls asleep and he wakes up and
Yeah.
No.
A terrible?
Just no.
Okay.
Just no.
Good. I'm going
to
skip that.
I started watching and it just even started out shitty, like before it even got to the point where he passed out. And then I went, oh, yeah, they're both dead. He's all imagining all this. And that's what it was. Yep.
Good. Save me some time.
Yeah. And the other one I watched was called Rattlesnake.
I already don't like it.
And it's about a woman who, her and her daughter are going cross country for some reason. She's running from something. And her daughter gets bit by a rattlesnake because they're in the desert. She gets a flat tire. Wants to change the tire. Snake bites her daughter. And, of course, she doesn't have a tire on, doesn't have cell service, but she sees this trailer all of a sudden, brings her daughter there, and the person in the trailer is like, I'll watch after her, but you need to get that tire on so you can get out of here. And then she does, and she goes back, and now it's just her daughter, and she gets her to the hospital, and she's in a coma. They don't know why, but there's no snake bite on her. And turns out, apparently, like, the devil or someone came and saved the daughter from dying. And it was just like, well, you know, if you want to make sure she doesn't die, you need to find me a soul or else your daughter dies. So the rest of the, and she has till sundown. So the rest of the episode is her trying to figure out who she's going to kill, save her daughter. Guess what she, guess who she kills in the end?
Herself.
Herself.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep.
So speaking of Satan, American Horror Story, 1984, episode 100.
Yep.
Okay, are you finally ready to admit that this particular season has gone off the rails? Okay, it's American Horror Story, 1984, and I'm pretty sure by the end of this episode we were into the 90s.
We were. Mm-hmm. We were. Yeah, it's gone off the rails. Yeah.
I mean, holy shit. We were promised a season of terror at a summer camp.
Yeah.
And now let's do a quick recap.
Yeah, like four episodes of that, maybe. Four episodes of that, yeah.
So episode 100, we get to see all these camp counselors who have been dead for a while but are still corporeal enough to murder anybody that wanders in.
Well, hold on. I think it starts out in 1989, right?
1985.
85.
Because we get to see the tail end of them getting away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it gets
with him, like, shaving.
But I think it gets to 1989.
Yes.
When they start killing people at the camp again.
Yes.
This is the first time we get to see the counselors from 1970 that died that are still there, apparently.
And that are perturbed because...
Yeah. Yeah. Except for the one that keeps dying over and over again, doesn't know he's dead, allegedly. But, yeah. So the rest of them just keep killing people because they can and they can get away with it.
And it's fun for them.
Yeah.
Even that guy who tried to save the cook and, like, got cooked alive himself.
Yeah.
For the most part. Like, he was a fairly decent guy, and now he's just like, I love murdering!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Montana are banging and killing.
Yep. Yeah. And then the jock guy is also banging Montana. And,
yeah. Killing.
And the black guy is mad because they keep leaving the bodies out.
Yeah.
To cook in the sun. And
it
they're
stinks.
Like, just get rid of them. You clean them up all the time.
Yeah. And then Ramirez and Richter are Richter is the Jingles. He's getting tired of Ramirez, and is killing Waze, and where they're down in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Basically, Richter turns him in.
Yeah, he basically just takes the newspaper that shows that he's a wanted guy, hands it to some women standing outside of the store, and goes, hey, look, he's right there. And then just kind of wanders away, and vigilante justice is done.
Yeah, he's arrested. We see Richter fast forward now. He's up in Alaska working at a video store.
Yeah. He's, Blockbuster, they make a lot of jokes there. Oh, the boss is thinking about opening one in Juneau as well. The last Blockbuster is in America.
But his wife's an ex-prostitute. She knows that he's an ex-killer, and she doesn't care. They have a kid together. He goes to work, thinks he's going to get a promotion, goes home to celebrate, finds his wife dead, brutally murdered, with a note on the baby who's still alive, basically, you know, Satan's looking for you or some shit. And then it's the flyer for the big Billy Idol concert at
the camp.
The camp.
Because what's her name there?
Yeah.
The one who is in charge of the camp decided to go into real estate and has bought the camp and is now going to revitalize it by having a Billy Idol concert there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she also married the guy with the giant penis.
Because, you know, she stabbed him to death, but apparently didn't really stab him to
death. He was in a coma, and then he woke up.
The knife was just like a quarter of an inch next to his heart.
He was in a coma, and he woke up and basically blackmailed her.
Yeah.
And then so she was like, fine, but we got to get married because you can't testify against your spouse in California. So they get married, but, you know, several years later now, he doesn't want to be married to her anymore. And
that's quite a cocaine problem.
Yep. And she buys all these haunted properties, the Lizzie Borden house. You know, the
Dahmer house,
the place where the Manson family lived that had their compound.
She tried to get the Dahmer house.
Yeah, and makes attractions out of all these things, you know, to make money. And she's making a decent amount of money doing so.
Enough that she's on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous with Robin Leach,
which was hilarious.
Yep.
Ramirez gets broken out of jail when where Satan comes in and possesses a guard and helps him break out.
But why was he trying to break out?
Because he wants to go to the Billy Idol concert.
Well, no, he also wanted to free, what's her name there?
Brooke.
Brooke. Because Brooke took the fall for all of it and was on death row and transferred to that prison with him.
But Brooke did murder Montana, so in Brooke's eyes, she's getting what she deserves.
Yep.
And he did offer her, you know, if you say yes to Satan, we'll get you out of here. And she refused.
And he goes into excruciating detail about the lethal injection system, which I'm glad somebody finally did.
We see Brooke getting killed.
Yep.
But then we find out the executioner's Donna, the not nurse who I thought was dead, but apparently is not. She rescues Brooke and saves her. So
now everybody's headed back to the camp because Jingles dropped his kid off with his sister-in-law and she's standing there in the doorway. It's raining out. The kid's crying on the doorstep and she's like, what are you doing? He's like, your sister's dead.
And she's like, but you need to take care of your son. What do I tell him?
Yeah.
Tell him that I love him and I'm sorry. And now I'm going to walk away jingling keys
with my traditional raincoat
as I head back down to California from Alaska somehow without getting caught.
So he's going down there to stop Richie.
Right.
Richie's going to stop this concert because, you know, Billy Idol is his hero.
Yeah.
Brooke is going, who knows, because she's with the not nurse.
Yeah.
And then all the dead counselors are like, oh, we're going to have people here to kill. So, holy jump the
all
fucking shark.
All coming together.
Yep.
Whew.
I like how they all kind of segued into things. You know, like, oh, we got DC shows to Watchmen.
Yeah.
And then to talking about your movies that had Satan to talking about this.
And I don't have any good segue to this other than New Amsterdam.
Okay. We need to talk about this.
Okay.
What were your thoughts on this episode?
Dr. Frome is really thinking highly of himself. He thinks he's going to turn this kid around.
What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for, like, giving someone the benefit of the doubt. But first, last week we saw him doing that whole thing with his husband where he was like, no, we need to adopt another kid. And his husband's like, no, we can't. We can't handle it. I can't handle it. This is ridiculous. And now this week he's like, oh, this girl's a psychopath. I can fix her.
My ego tells me I need to fix this girl and figure out a way to trick her into being a good person. No.
She needs to be locked up,
like,
studied, and cared for by professionals.
Not once or twice, but multiple times. This kid showed him how fucking crazy she is.
And let me just say, the people that wrote this character, plus the little girl who was playing it, all did great jobs.
Oh, yes.
I was truly disturbed by this little psychopath.
Yes. This little girl had a lot of fun playing this character.
And the people that wrote her, they were like, oh, we don't want to just make somebody who likes to beat up cats. You know, we want to show that she literally has no shame, no empathy, and she is a little maniac.
Yeah.
You know, it was bad enough when she was playing the game with Augie there, you know, and she's like, you're fat. Have you always been fat? Were you fat as a kid? Were you picked on? I'm sorry, $10.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, you need to stop. And then he doubles down because that should have been bad enough. He should have been like, you know what? You're wrong. I can't do this. Tell the social worker there that she was all set. But no, he doubles down and he's like, you can have his phone if you can apologize without hurting anybody else. And she put on a show and a half.
Yep.
And it was psychotic.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And she's like, I don't know why I get angry. I just get so angry and things just frustrate me. And I want to be with you and I want to be like you because I love you. You're my brother.
And because I want to play your game because that's something that we do together so I can feel closer to you. I'm sorry. You know, you can play my game. She goes out in the hallway. I won.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this girl's 1044. Yeah. 88.
Yeah. She needs to be locked up.
No. Okay.
I know she's an 11-year-old kid. And people are like, but she's just a kid. No. This is a child. She admitted to him that she's thought about harming her parents because I can.
Yeah.
And Frome's just like,
my ego says I can handle this.
That's right. Yeah, no. We just need to reward her because rewards work. No, they don't.
Not in this case.
No.
They
also had the astronaut who had a heart issue, and the
insurance company issue where
that was kind of funny watching him like go to the people in person. And he's like, "All right, where's your boss? He's three floors above us." Yeah, which room was that again? And then he like shows up in person. Okay, who's above you? Where can I show up? That was kind of fun.
Yeah, that was interesting. That ate up a lot of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically going, insurance companies in the United States are wrong for their arbitrary rules. I mean, if you think about it, like, for instance, like you said, you won't cover a surrogate pregnancy.
Yep.
Which will cost you $12,000. But you'll cover ovarian transplant.
No, uterine transplant.
Uterine transplant that is five times as much.
Yep. And the woman looks at it and goes, you're right. Maybe we should stop offering uterine transplants right now.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that didn't work. But we also, at the very end of this, got that one little.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he's standing there with Martha Jones and he's got the baby and she smiled and he goes, was that a smile? We've got to show your mama that smile. And then he like caught himself and he's like, oh, we've got a picture of her at home. That, you know, we'll show it to her. I think something bigger is going on with Frome. I think.
Oh, probably.
You know, between last week and then this week, I think you're right. It's a lot of his ego. It's a lot of him trying to think that he can do better or he can control things that are way out of his control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's either headed for a breakdown or a suicide. Like something major is coming with this guy. I just can't believe that he let that much leeway go with that little psychopath. It bothered me. Like, the way that she was almost convincing to the audience at the end there, when she spouted her little spiel about, you know, I get so angry and I just want to be close to you. It was almost convincing.
Yeah, it was.
That
was convincing. The good doctor.
Oh my God, what was this called? Like first case, second base.
Yeah. All right. So I had a problem with this episode.
Because he got boob?
What?
Because he got boob. Because
he touched a boob?
Yeah.
No, I don't care about that.
I was hoping that wasn't your problem.
I don't care about any of that. My problem is this. He's doing the surgery on this woman's throat. He has a realization that if someone else took over the surgery, because he's not qualified to do this, but he could talk them through it, it would prevent her from having to have a feeding tube and yada, 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 yada. But instead of just realizing that and telling everyone, he has to have a breakdown.
Uh-huh.
That was dumb.
Uh-huh.
Like, what? It didn't make any sense. Like, yes, it makes sense that he would, you know, be upset about not being able to do the surgery anymore. And I could see him going like, oh, now I can't do the surgery. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, because if we did this, but no, instead,
they but that's not how his brain works. Like, he's supposed to be doing the surgery.
It just seems so extreme. Like, everything that they basically, because what they've just now done is that Sean had a moment that he couldn't handle, mm-hmm. walked out of surgery, mm-hmm. Left someone lying on the table open, mm-hmm. couldn't formulate what he wanted to say, mm-hmm. but was finally able to get it up. But all those things that they just, that, oh, what if Sean does this? Like the last two seasons of what if this happens? He's fucking just swept it under the rug.
No, that's why the doctor said that at the end when he was talking to the, she was like, oh, he figured this out. He goes, oh, yeah. He figured out the diagnosis, which was great. Yeah. But as a doctor, he failed.
Right.
He failed in every aspect.
And the head of the department went, I know, but he won't next time. Under the rug it goes. Mm. So I just, I don't know, I had a problem with that.
I understand why his brain did that.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to comprehend. I can't do this anymore. I know that I can't. I'm not qualified to do this. Yeah. But it's supposed to be me. But if I stop right now, his brain doesn't work as fast as ours in some of those respects. So I get that that's where he was freaking out.
I didn't like that Glass was trying to change Debbie because she likes to have a gun and he doesn't. Shit.
That whole thing felt so tacked on.
Oh, it was stupid. It was like, let's have some political commentary about
First Amendment
rights and guns. And
then his solution, he's like, you know, so I got you a surprise. She's like, what's that? Oh, it's an alarm system. And if you don't disarm it, then, you know, the cops show up and the fire department shows up.
Good. I like having that extra level of safety.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing was just completely tacked on, and I didn't appreciate it at all. Yeah.
Oh, the rookie. Didn't care for Nolan's new trainee.
No, which is too bad.
I mean, new TL.
Right. I really liked Harold Perrineau. I was hoping we'd see more of him. And unfortunately, it looks like we're going to see more of this woman.
Yeah.
Because she's here to stay, you know, she wants her kid back.
Yeah,
that's basically why she punched her golden ticket.
She was a detective who was undercover for 3 years and four years, okay. And so she made off some big bust, and now she's having trouble readjusting to life and not being undercover and having to be a patrolman and not a detective anymore. Because we saw that where she stripped off her,
the cliche academy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that was annoying.
I mean, it was fun watching her slip back into her old role by ripping her clothes off and fluffing up her hair and then stealing somebody's clothes out of the laundromat.
Right. And then Nolan going in and arresting her. And then I like how he left her in the back of the shop for a while.
She's like, pull over now. And he's like, no. I loved, though, once again, Tim.
Yeah.
Bradshaw.
Brad.
Okay. I loved how he, you know, basically told Nolan, he's like, if she puts you in a compromising situation, you page us and we will be there.
Yeah, text Chen. Tell us where you are. We'll be right there.
And he's like, I thought that you didn't like rookies. And he goes, teaching rookies is an honored tradition.
Yes.
You don't fuck with that.
Yeah.
Like, he was dead. Like, he's like, she is not taking this seriously. We need to get you guys whipped into shape.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
I do too. I like how they've made his character where he's like the hard ass guy, but at the same time, safety first.
Yep.
And these are the people we're training to do this job that he loves and he takes it seriously. I know people like that.
Yeah. He, again, Cox.
Yeah.
He was very Coxian.
Right. I mean, but I've known people like that and I know people like that. Like, you know what? It sucks training new people, but it needs to be done because I want them to learn what they need to know to do the job effectively.
Yeah. And especially in a job like that.
Yeah.
You know, you train them incorrectly, they're dead. You're dead. Somebody's dead. Yep. So, yeah. I really appreciated his character this time.
Yep. Again, as did I. But we'll see what happens. We had the new episode. Again, we're recording on Monday nights now, basically. That's our recording night.
And it's so nice having a schedule, isn't it?
It really is nice having a set night. Like, it's not even, what night do you want to record this week? Well, we can try and do this or juggle this or juggle that. No, it's Monday, 7:30.
And it's something that you can always, like, if somebody says, hey, what do you do next Monday? Dude, I'm scheduled.
Yeah. My wife likes the fact that we have a schedule of Monday, 7:30. Yeah. She expects it.
And it makes it a lot easier. Well, there's a lot less pressure to get all the shows watched because you know that you've got a set amount of time.
Yes.
And if you leave it till the last minute, that's your own fuck up.
And we have the weekend, which is nice to catch up on anything.
Really is. Holy shit.
Or to choose just to not watch the CW shows. Because you read the synopses and said, well, that's enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Superstore. Self-care.
Oh, my God. Okay, so last week, I hated the episode.
Yeah.
This week, I love the episode.
I was okay with it. I don't know. I just... Maybe it was the time with when I watched it.
Oh, maybe.
But, like, I was annoyed with Mateo's... he becomes the optometrist assistant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who then just completely takes advantage of the fact Mateo's undocumented and constantly reminds Mateo that he's undocumented and makes Mateo do things like tell his wife that he doesn't want to go have another kid or some shit.
Right.
Yeah.
No. No, the things that I really liked about this one, you're right, that was not good.
Yeah.
I loved Dina and Glenn. You know, basically Glenn was like, oh, I've got one of those headaches, you know, where your whole body tingles and then he gets up and he like falls over. And he's like, good news, I'm not pre-diabetic anymore. And they're like, you're cured? He goes, no, I'm fully diabetic.
Yeah.
Like, he was so proud of that. And then Dina, like, making him into a vegan, like, sneaking all of his stuff. Like, no, I took your food.
Yeah.
And he's like, that was grilled chicken. It's on the list. She goes, no, here's a kale salad. You're vegan from now. Or he's like, you know, I found some carrots in my pocket.
Dina's like,
that happens.
I didn't carry that baby of yours for 9 months so she can die before it grows up.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind if someone put carrots in my carrots are good.
They are. Although... if you eat them just by themselves, you get that dry mouth after a little while.
Guys, we gotta have some water nearby, yeah.
Yeah.
I could not stand Cheyenne in this episode.
Yeah. This is two episodes in a row where Cheyenne's really gotten the shaft. Like, last time it was the cool kids, and they're like, oh, I'm not cool. What? And then this one, the whole covering for Amy while she takes a nap. Everyone had a right to be pissed.
Yeah.
Don't take a nap at the store. That's just not done.
Right.
That's fireable offense at any job.
Right.
So, yeah, they had every right to do that.
Well, I don't know. I've seen some people sleeping, not getting fired.
You've been one of those people.
Hey, midnight shift is rough sometimes.
I did like the joke that the optometrist was talking to Mateo, and he's like, yeah, I've been reading up on White Savior Complex. And he's like, did you finish reading up on
this? This is the best part. Mateo's like, did you read all of
that and the hot sauce? You know, cover all the buttholes.
Yes.
But I think my favorite was them calling out Garrett for having a beard to cover his weak chin. And then when he shaved it off at the end, showed us just like, I'll cover for you while it grows back in. Great, it'll be about a week and a half. Happy. See ya. Holy God, you look like a man child.
Before we continue on to the half-hour comedies, no Emergence this week, no Stumptown.
Correct.
So.
Yeah.
The Good Place.
The Good Place. Little better.
I don't know.
It was a little better. They're picking up pace a little bit after what we've been waiting for.
Well, okay, so the last episode ended with Michael Jason heading off to rescue Janet, which they successfully did in this episode and got back to the Good Place.
In a half-hour episode.
Yeah. So they go, and we find out that Vicky is in the Michael Demon suit.
Mm-hmm.
And, and...
she's torturing good Janet.
Yeah.
But it's not working very well.
And Michael and good Janet realizes it's her, and it's not... yeah, that's not Michael's laugh. Yeah. So close.
Yeah.
Michael and Jason show up, and Michael pretends that she's fake Michael, that he's Vicky in the Michael suit, and then Jason's a replica, and he's...
no, he's Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn, but Jason's not Jason. He's a Jason suit, and Glenn's inside, and he's like, oh, that makes sense, and then they bring Janet out, and yada, 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 and then Jason's like, oh, I got the thing that pulls people up.
The demon exploder.
And I go, Michael's, I have a demon exploder, and I can't think of the head demon. He's like, oh, those things don't exist.
Sean.
And then he explodes one of the demons. And he's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, hell.
Yeah. And then he explodes Vicky. And then everyone there at Demon Con thinks it's part of the show. So they applaud. And Sean's like, stop applauding. This is not part of the show. They're really getting away.
I actually wrote it down. He goes, demon exploder. Try to at least make it sound convincing. Boom. Yeah. Wow. Touché. As he's like got demon guts on him.
That was my favorite part of the episode. Demon Con. He's like, slide one of 240,000.
Yeah. They're going to be here for 756,000 hours? Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, the time just flies. But then back in The Good Place,
yes,
they try to send all the humans off because Janet's not there to keep all the Janet replica, all her children.
Okay.
So they're all kind of losing their minds.
This is also funny.
This was great because they had to bring Derek in.
Yes.
And like at one point he has a champagne glass full of Scrabble letters because that's Derek.
I like Derek when Derek pushed his own button. That was okay. That was the best part of the episode.
Because Tahani said to him, "Don't you get better every time you get rebooted?" And he's like, "Yeah, why don't you kill you?" And she just wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah.
He's like crying, trying to convince himself not to kill
him. No, Derek, don't kill me. Oh, good one, Derek. Nice try. Like,
yeah, because they basically got the humans away, and it should have been fine, except for Chidi didn't want to do any of that stuff because it all scares him, so he was just going to stay home. So then they said, "Oh, we created a puzzle for you to solve, and the clues are here, and there's like 4,700 of them, and if you get all of them, then it's the answer to, you know, the meaning of life."
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But they get in there.
Yeah.
Derek killing himself was great, and the demon exploding thing was great. I love that. They're actually escaping. Stop clapping. Everyone's like, "This is so great."
And then, you know, just to keep everything wound up, you know, Janet destroys the tunnel.
Yes.
And the train tracks, so they can't get. Yeah.
Only a few episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of episodes left, fucking Batwoman got picked up for 9 more episodes.
Dude.
For a complete season.
Dude. Batwoman and Nancy Drew got a full season.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
The CW, CBS renewed all of its shows for the full season.
Okay.
All of its new shows, it gave them full season orders. And Evil, they've already ordered a full second season.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't get it.
Emergence is on ABC, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't heard anything about that one yet. Okay.
Oh, but don't worry, because as you pointed out to me earlier in the week, at least they canceled Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, I was going to get to that news later. But yeah, they canceled Cloak and Dagger, which means the Runaways crossover is definitely canceled.
I'm so pissed. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck they're doing here.
But at the same time, it's all been confirmed that Jon Bernthal is coming back as the Punisher in the MCU.
Yeah.
And then I read today, before we start recording, that Kevin Feige is actually looking, or Feige, whatever you pronounce his name, is actually looking to bring back all the Netflix actors to play those characters.
Yeah, good luck. Mike Coulter just got signed on for a second season of Evil.
I'm just saying, like, so there's
a possibility. Oh, I love it.
But they've already essentially confirmed that Jon Bernthal will be coming back as the Punisher.
Well, if Marvel could absorb Cloak and Dagger,
yeah,
I would have zero problem with that. I would like to see them get picked up and maybe even get a little bit edgier.
Maybe Hulu will pick up Cloak and Dagger.
Doubtful.
Isn't The Runaways on Hulu?
It is. But, like,
all those other shows got canceled.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's been canceled, but hopefully, again, it.
There's the Jeremy Renner issues where people are calling for him to be Hawkeye to be recast.
Why?
You didn't hear what happened?
No, I didn't hear what happened. Did
some public outrage, something domestic violence related.
Oh, gotcha.
I didn't have it. I don't.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I didn't actually have that in my notes.
Okay.
If I just Google, here we go. Didn't Disney consider replacing Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye after actor was accused of threatening to kill his ex-wife? So.
Yikes.
Yeah. After he was accused of threatening to kill his ex-wife in a custody filing, according to several Hollywood insiders, including writer Daniel RPK, the studio is said to have considered options in case the decision was taken to recast the role of the arrow-wielding assassin. Disney had to respond to claims, but it comes weeks after blah, 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 who married Renner in 2014, filed for divorce in the same year, accusing her ex-husband of emotional abuse and drug abuse.
Gotcha.
The allegations have been dismissed as one-sided by Representative Renner, so who knows, but whatever. So the world we live in today.
These are the hands we give.
Yeah. Schooled.
Schooled.
Flu outbreak. Phenomenal. Again, I could just watch.
Mellow?
I could just watch The Coach and be happy. The Lainey Lewis, her band, the 1 week, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they tied it all back in.
Of course they did, yep.
Oh, it wasn't he pissed off, though?
Oh, God, yeah.
I couldn't make winners out of these kids. You have them for 2 days, and you get a trophy? A trophy? You won this for me? Oh, yeah. Because, you know, the principal has his thing where he used to be a guidance counselor, and he still has that toolbox. So he was, you know, encouraging the kids and talking to them about their problems and seeing them as people, not just instruments of wrestling.
Right, as means, not ends.
Right.
As we learn in business.
Yes, yes.
In business. I'm looking forward to the next episode because it's called Run, Rick, Run.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
I hope it's like Run, Lola, Run.
I hope
so. And so it's like revolving doors kind of things. Oh, that'd be great.
I've noticed that this show will be back this week, but there's a few shows that don't have episodes this week. Just like we had a couple that didn't have episodes last week.
That's kind of good. I'm kind of excited about that. I'm not going to lie. I can start catching up on some of the other shows.
So the wife and I did sit down and watch all 5 aired episodes of Perfect Harmony.
Oh, well, you got past the first one, so obviously you liked it enough.
Yeah, we watched all 5 of them.
Did she like the Kentucky bent on things?
Yep. I don't want to break it all down. She's experienced some of those things. I don't want to break it all down.
Okay.
I love that we saw Kirkwood Smith in episode 5.
Oh, my God, yes.
That was awesome.
As her father. Holy shit. Yeah. I was like, this couldn't be more perfect.
but no, I enjoy the cast. I enjoy the characters. Sorry, I'm just trying to think of how I wanted to say it. This is so stupid. I can't think of their names. Not Dwayne, or which one's is Dwayne the big black fella or the white fella? Dwayne's the white fella.
The ex-husband.
So Wayne's the big fella.
Yeah.
Okay, Wayne's voice. Wayne's voice.
Right.
Holy crap.
I love in the first episode.
Phenomenal.
Where he's like, you sound like Mufasa ate Darth Vader.
Yeah. they picked up singing well really fast, which surprised me because I thought they were struggling.
They were kind of a choir before that. They just kind of sucked at it.
Well, he got them all to harmonize in that first episode.
Right.
When he's like going to kill himself. This will not be the last thing I hear before I die. You know, like. So I do enjoy that. He's the crotchety old man with the heart of gold as it's coming out. But no, I'm enjoying the show.
Good.
Again, it's half hour. It's fun. It's a comedy.
It's right in between Superstore and
Is it? Place. Yep. I watch it on Hulu. So
yep.
But we're enjoying it. I did like the episode where he's like, "Oh, we got choir practice all week." No, tomorrow's the first day of hunting season. You know, and the whole business is just, it's funny.
Yes.
I enjoy it. Yeah. I like the most recent episode. It's electric. Mm. When Dwayne sings the electric slide, it was just wrong.
Yes.
His voice was not made for that song.
No.
But when he did the thing where they slowed the pace of the song down, so it's like a slow dance, and then Wayne sang electric slide with his deep voice, that was
obviously
awesome.
Yes. I really appreciated that part as well. I was like, damn, that's good on both their parts, you know?
And I liked when, at the end, when the son there, because he met the girl and they're dancing and talking, he's like, well, whatever her name is, Gretchen's really concerned about you as a father figure in my life. You know, and he's like, she's a smart girl, son. Hold on to her. You know what I mean? Like,
Now, Anna Camp, the skinny blonde.
Yes.
She actually is a very good singer.
She was in the Pitch Perfect movies and some other stuff, so yeah. Yeah, and she can sing.
Yep.
But the actor that's playing, what's his name? Whitford? Oh, Dr.
Bradley Whitford.
Bradley Whitford, who's playing Dr. Arthur Corcoran. My wife and I agree, everything we see him in, he's like the dick, asshole, bastard type guy. To see him smiling and whatever, it seems very much out of place.
Yeah.
Because he always kind of plays like the asshole, if you will.
Billy Madison, the dad on Get Out. Did you ever watch him in The Good Guys? That cop show where he was the shitty cop and Colin Hanks was the good cop?
No.
Yeah.
But like everything he's been in, he's kind of like the jerk or the bad guy or whatever.
He does it well. He has a great sneer.
Yes. But in this, you know, he's smiling and...
one of my favorite things was the Ave Maria, where she belts out, Ave, and then she's like lying, he's like, Maria!
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually really good stuff.
Good. I'm glad you guys are liking it.
Yeah. So we checked it out. We watched the first episode, and it hooked us a little bit.
Nice. So. Did you watch Prodigal Son?
I did not.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to.
Okay.
I'm up in the air. Did you watch it?
Yeah. It's a background show for me now.
Yeah, see?
It's unfortunate, but
it started strong.
Yeah.
I really
great
dug
concept.
It. Yes.
It was the first show to get picked up for a full season.
Yeah.
But it's just not as
it's whimpering on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, I won't even get into the details of it.
I did watch the first two episodes of Castle Rock.
Okay, I did not, but what do you think? You're kind of looking like you got some gas there.
I wasn't impressed.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of nods to other works of Stephen King's works. But it's not... It's one of those things where you kind of would have to know.
Okay.
You know? And they also did that thing where, like, they brought back a character that's dead.
Oh.
Like, Ace Merrill. We meet Ace Merrill in this, in the first episode. He's, like, the landlord. I'll just say that. But he was Kiefer Sutherland's character from Stand By Me.
Yep.
And he dies in Needful Things.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's in this. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of nods. Oh, there's Shawshank. Oh, they're in Jerusalem's Lot, which that was from the scene for Salem's Lot and the story Jerusalem's Lot. I mean, there was people forget about that because there was a movie called – they made the movie Salem's Lot. They didn't make the movie Jerusalem's Lot.
Gotcha.
Anyway, so I don't know. It's okay.
You're not doing anything to sell me on it right now. Nothing. Yeah. It doesn't sound like you're trying. You know, a couple of times I'd be on Hulu and I'd be, you know, oh, I got to watch this show. I got to watch this show. And then I'd always see that picture of her up there, Castle Rock. And I'm like, should I get into it or not? Maybe that'll be one of my Thanksgiving week ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you taking the days off in Thanksgiving week?
Yeah.
Oh, you was.
Yeah. So I'm going to have a nice 9-day stretch there.
Solid.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm shrugging my shoulders. That's how I feel about it.
Okay.
I don't know. That's
fair enough.
I'm going to keep watching.
Right.
But, yeah.
Okay.
I got a little bit of news, one trailer, and then Mr. Robot. What else you got?
This Is Us.
Oh, did I watch that? I had to have.
It was the story of Jack and Rebecca's lasagna at the first place they moved
into. Yes.
So this episode had some interesting stuff, and you're going to have to help me out here because I watched it earlier on. So that's one of the stories that we had was the first place that Jack and Rebecca moved into and the lasagna. Kevin and Sophie come back.
Yeah.
And they're married. And so we've got Kevin and Sophie. This is the new place that the kids, well, that Rebecca and Kate have moved into. Kate's boyfriend shows up. So you've got Kate and her boyfriend. You've got Randall and Beth because he's had a date with her. And so now he's like, oh, come meet my mom. And then you've got Kevin and Sophie who are just completely oblivious. Plus Miguel shows up.
Miguel is there but this is not when they're dating.
No.
This is just him being there. They just moved into the new house and he's been helping out fixing things and changing things and just being helpful to Rebecca because he's watching out. And at this time, he's genuinely watching out for his best friend's widow.
Yes. Because it's
being
very fresh.
The stand-up guy.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And we get to see a very classic scene here, which is the Pearsons in the kitchen having an argument, and then everybody else who's not a Pearson out at the kitchen table or out at the dining room table, like, should we leave?
Yeah.
Like, this is awkward.
A scene we should get familiar with.
Yeah, so Kate basically is mad because Kevin got married and didn't tell any of them. And, you know, I'm your person. I should have known about this. Instead, you brought us, like, two Polaroids of the wedding. Then Kevin says he doesn't like her new boyfriend because, you know, he's kind of a scumbag. And, you know, oh, he's got a lot of knowledge of obscure music. What's that going to do for you?
Well, he works at a record store, Kevin.
So it's kind of his job.
And Randall doesn't like him because he's too old for Kate in his mind because he's 23 and Kate's 17 or 18 or whatever it is. And Kate's
they
like,
got to be 18.
No, they got to be 18. And Kate's like, well, you're married, so who cares?
Yeah.
And 5 years.
And mom and dad were 6 years apart.
Exactly. And At the same time, we're seeing the flashback of, like you said, Jack and Rebecca moving into their house. He can't get the table together. She makes this lasagna. She's pregnant. The lasagna burns. They knock it on the floor when the bird gets in the house because he's scared to death of birds.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it for the flashback.
Yeah, because we basically got the story, you know, that was supposed to be the touching story because he knocks it over.
Yeah.
Then they laugh about it because they've been waiting all day. They were so hungry. They had to find the right pan to do the lasagna and then, you know.
In current times, if you will, Kate is waiting for a present to show up from Randall and Kevin, and Mom shows up and to visit, and she's like, "Are you my present?" She's like, "No, I'm just here to visit you and see my grandson."
Right.
Toby excuses himself early in the episode with, "Hey, I'm going to the gym."
Yeah.
That's, we don't see him to the end where he's like,
he's off screen.
Where the present arrives, like, "Oh, another grand gesture from the Pearson brothers," you know, which is typical.
Yep.
But we don't really see anything else from that. Kevin and Nikki go with Cassidy to the military honors hockey game. And Cassidy's son and husband's there. And he leaves early. And then Nikki has to leave because he's getting tempted to drink.
He's having, like, the noises and the lights and the people are getting to be too much for him. It's giving him flashbacks. Not of just combat, but like he sees himself, you know, coming up out of the water after that explosion. It's just, it's all too much for him. It's too much stimulus.
Earlier in the episode, Kevin tells Nikki about how his dad used to take the cardboard carton of ice cream, which very few places do those anymore.
Yes.
And cut slices out of it to give the kids. Now, hold on to that thought, because after the hockey game, Kevin takes Cassidy and their son home. And the dad comes out, and Kevin's like, "So, you just couldn't be bothered to be there for your wife, and, you know, she was being honored, and just got to look at your phone." And, you know, true to This Is Us, the husband doesn't say, "Fuck you."
Right.
He says, "Do you want to know why I was looking at my phone? Because the military is what stole everything I love about her away from me. And this is reminding me of that. And that's why I couldn't be there. So I was looking at what I loved before."
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, "Stay away from my wife," and walks inside. And Cassie's like, "What was that?" Kevin's like, "He still likes you."
Yeah. I love that that was his takeaway of all this.
And then Kevin goes home, and Nikki now shares the full story of the carton of ice cream as he pulls one out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Oh, my dad used to do this for us.
It was one of the few good things that he did."
And he'd say, "Have you been a good boy today? Do you deserve a big piece of cake, a big slice of ice cream or a small slice of ice cream?" And Nikki and him, he cuts the, you know, cuts the ice cream into slices, and they share the ice cream. So that was cool.
Yep.
And then the piano arrives, and that was the gift. Their mom's old piano, and it shipped to Kate. And of course, in the piano bench is still the Polaroids from that night, you know, 20 years ago, including a Polaroid of Mark and Kate. And we get the mom saying, "Oh, I just can't believe it happened. I didn't notice it." Me neither, Mom.
Yeah, she was saying, "I wanted my kids to be happy, so if they seemed like they were happy, I just assumed that everything was good, and I didn't want to look any deeper, and I had no idea that this was happening."
Yeah.
But we don't know what it is.
Right, because they didn't do the standard, like, super dramatic approach with it. They were just like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Bugs." Like, it's okay. It's like they've gotten over it.
Right.
Oh, and we find out that Randall and his daughter, Tess, now she had a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And Randall's like, "It's okay, we're alike." And Tess's like, "I don't want to be like you." But,
in all honesty, I mean, that'd be like if, you know, you had a spinal injury that caused you to be paralyzed and your son started getting symptoms. And you're like, "Hey, you're like me." And he's like, "Dude, I don't want to be crippled like you." You know, it's the same kind of thing. She's like, "This is not something to be proud of. This is not something to be happy about."
And we get the call back to Beth and William, where William was like,
kudos to William for being there, you know?
He's like, "Oh, I had anxiety too. My mom used to give me seltzer water."
Yep.
And the reason why it was seltzer water was because sit there, wait for the bubbles to stop, and then talk. And it's a way of calming him down. And so Beth shares that with them, and Tess is like, "I'm sorry, Dad." And they share some seltzer water.
And then Beth basically says, "Hey, I found a therapist for her, and she's going to start going, and we're going to make her better. And Randall's like, that's great. She goes, and guess what? I found a therapist for you. And he goes, no, I'm all set. And she's like, no, you're going to get fixed. And he goes, no, I'm too busy. I can handle this. I've been handling it for years. Yeah. And she's like, no, no, you need to go get some help.
Yep.
Just like your daughter does.
Yep. So we'll see what happens there. I do enjoy the show.
Yeah, I do as well.
News. Oh, sorry. Do you have any more shows?
I don't believe so. I mean, I watched The Unicorn. It's still an enjoyable half hour CBS show.
Yeah.
Basically, this one was the catfish episode where all of his friends have been like, they have the password access because they set up his dating profile.
Yeah.
So they were going in and changing things. Like his original profile picture he picked was finger guns.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, that's unacceptable. Yeah, and then they changed things like saying that, you know, his favorite thing to do in bed is cuddling. And so he changed his password and locked them out. So Rob Caudry's character is like, I know. I'm going to try to see what he's got on his profile. I'll make up a fake woman's profile. And I'll, you know, see what he's got there just to make sure that he's still doing the right stuff. But then he gets sucked in and he's pretending to be this woman. And, you know, he's getting deeper and deeper. And it turns out that, you know, he knew all along. He's like, I knew it was you right from the beginning. I've been fucking with you the whole time. So it's a fun show. That's it. All I got left is trailers and news.
News. So DC wants to get their DC movie universe characters into the Crisis now somehow.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like Ezra Miller and Jason Momoa and
that's the rumor.
Gal Gadot.
This crisis is getting so huge. I hope Brad Guggenheim or whatever goes, thanks.
Greg
thank goes, thanks, but no, guys. Thanks, but no.
Greg Berlanti.
You know what I meant, though.
Brad Guggenheim, Greg Berlanti. You got whatever. The B and the G.
Hey.
Brad Guggenheim. Okay. Well, there's the episode title. That Brad Guggenheim guy.
So there's
I hope he does that as well.
There's another new CW spinoff show coming down the pike.
I saw that.
Superman and Lois. I don't know if it's gonna be called that or what it is, but it's gonna be about Superman and Lois Lane and Tyler Hoechlin.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Tulloch are gonna be reprising their roles as Superman and Lois Lane. They are gonna be in the Crisis. And it's not going to be starting over from the beginning. Like, I was afraid as soon as I read it. Like
they did with Batwoman. Fucking
Batwoman. It's actually going to take place. I don't know when it's going to take place, but they'll be working parents in today's society.
Yes, which is interesting. Yes. Working parents.
Yes. Well,
so this is a ways into it.
Well, the new Superman comic that I'm reading is it's the new Superman book that Brian Michael Bendis is putting out. And it's Superman and Lois Lane and their son. And it's an excellent book, and I really enjoy it.
Nice.
Anyway, so the showrunner for this show, who's the writing executive producing it, was the showrunner for Flash, who left the show last spring to focus on this.
Awesome. I'm behind it.
So I'm excited about it.
Yep.
But I sure as hope it doesn't start out like Batwoman did and make me all annoyed with it.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. When the Crisis is over, I'll still watch Legends, even though that'll probably be done. I mean, also, I saw that Brandon Routh is leaving Legends.
Yep. They announced that a while back.
Yeah.
Him and Nora Dark.
Yeah. So, if Legends sticks around, I'll keep watching that. I'll probably watch Flash, but I don't. Supergirl ain't doing anything for me. Batwoman's not doing anything for me. Nope. I'm not going to watch the new Arrow spinoff.
Nope.
I have no interest in that. So, I'm very excited about this Crisis event. But you know what? The last couple of years, the best things about the Arrowverse have been the crossovers. And otherwise, I've just been indifferent.
Wouldn't it be funny if the DC movie universe movies came in just long enough for their universes to be wiped out by the Anti-Monitor?
Maybe that's what they want to do.
Didn't see that coming, did you? Maybe like Zack Snyder gets a cameo and he gets wiped out by antimatter.
Maybe that's why they want to do it, so that way they can explain why, you know, Robert Pattinson's going to be Batman. And well, I still want to see Wonder Woman 84.
Oh, yeah.
Six
or whatever. It's coming eventually.
Maybe someday.
2084.
Oh, God. You know, maybe it'll be sooner than the New Mutants movie.
Did you hear about Thunder Force?
No.
It's an upcoming superhero movie.
Yeah?
Yep. Two ordinary women suddenly develop superpowers and decide to help save the world. Those two women are Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer.
Oh. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's also going to have Palm Clementiff, who was Mantis.
And, yep.
Yep.
Mm. Speaking of that.
Yeah.
New Mutants is now scheduled for April 3rd, 2020. If they would have said April 1st, 2020, the over-under on that would have been hilarious. Like, you know.
Right.
We got you again! Just direct a video of this or something. Just get it out there. Or just pull it. I don't know. I mean, at this point, it doesn't even matter.
Right.
It's been pushed back how many times?
Far too
many. April 2018 was the original release date.
Yep. But even then was... It had been in production for like 5 years or something.
Yeah. Well, it got cast in 2016. 2018 was going to be the release, original release date. And they got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And they did some reshoots. And, you know. You got any news?
Yep. A couple of things and a show that we forgot to talk about.
Okay.
So, remember how Disney Plus canceled the Muppet Show?
Yeah.
Now they've got a new one coming from Jim Henson.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's called Earth to Ned. The comedy follows Ned, a blue-skinned alien, and his lieutenant Cornelius, who were sent to scout Earth for an eventual invasion, but instead became obsessed with popular culture. Now they host a talk show broadcast from the bridge of their spaceship hidden deep underground, where they interview our most precious commodity, celebrities, to talk to Ned's current pop culture obsessions. Ned will be bringing real-life celebrity guests to his ship from across the known universe and interviewing them late-night talk show style in hopes of producing the ultimate talk show, making Ned a celebrity and putting him further off mission.
Sounds great, but I feel like it's going to fail.
Oh, it's absolutely going to fail. It's going to plummet. Yeah. And then this is interesting because it's like one of those news stories that everybody got the exact same line and nobody can expand on it. According to the New York Times, the first episode of the Disney Plus series, The Mandalorian, contains a dramatic Star Wars universe spoiler.
Huh.
That's all they'll say.
Huh.
But apparently, in addition, Disney announced Monday that while advanced screeners would be made available for the media and for its other new shows, The Mandalorian will not be pre-screened before its November 12th premiere in order to protect any surprises and plot twists.
Good.
Members of the media have previously seen roughly a half hour of clips from the show, but not a full episode. But supposedly, it contains a massive spoiler for the Star Wars universe.
So I have a sick day on November 12th already. Because nice. I have doctor's appointments that day that yep. take up a chunk of the day. And I got to take the kids in for something or other. So I'm going to be watching The Mandalorian at some point. So if I can't get it watched in the morning and I go on radio silence,
yep,
you'll know why.
Okay. I actually, I'm getting out early that day because I have a doctor's appointment as well.
I wonder when it's going to be, I wonder what, like, is it at midnight? Is it going to be on there? 3 a.m. Eastern time, is it going to be on there? Is it going to launch? When can you download the app? You know? When can you download the Disney Plus app? Thank you for finishing it for me, Google.
Launch dates, prices, pre-orders. Do. Be available to stream on December 11th.
What? December 11th?
That's the whole... sorry. That's Pixar and Disney's own Avengers Endgame, for example, will be December 11th.
when can I download the app?
That's what I'm looking for. Disney Plus will launch November 12th in the U.S., Canada, and Netherlands. It'll launch a week later, November 19th. In advance of the official launch, Disney is offering Disney Plus free in the Netherlands. The November timing is strategic. So it doesn't say specific times as of right now.
I'm just curious when you can download the app. You know what I mean? Like when?
Right. Well, I'm interested to find out if I'm going to be able to get the app on my particular device.
Yeah.
You know, my... Samsung TV.
Like, they have Disney Now. Mm-hmm. The Disney Now app. That, I mean, that's it. They don't have any other Disney app. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for shows and stuff.
Right.
I mean, they have the Disneyland app, obviously, but for streaming and stuff, it's just Disney Now. And I know, what was it recently that their app changed? Oh, WWE Network. WWE's app became the WWE Network app when the WWE Network launched.
Okay.
So,
whatever. And I think that's the news that I have, but we forgot one show.
One show.
We probably did or didn't watch. Hold on. Yeah, that's all my news. Blacklist.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
Yeah, I did watch that episode.
This was actually an interesting episode because we got more of the backstory of Harold, and he's got a dark past.
Yeah, he does.
Basically, they show his time in Kuwait and how, you know, in the beginning, we just see him getting ambushed, him and his friend getting ambushed and gunned down and calling for help. And then we get a little bit more of the story each time the flashback shows. And basically, this guy that was a friend of his who would later show up on shows like Fallen Earth and stuff like that, or Falling Skies, sorry. He was taken. Like, they were ambushed. That guy was taken. And he's been a prisoner of war all this time.
30 years.
Yeah. They thought that he was either dead or just had been tortured to death. And he actually, you know, long and the short of it is that he has been that mysterious figure that, you know, as soon as they named that figure.
The name, like, Smoon?
Yeah.
Like, Moon with an S.
Yeah. And as soon as they were like, oh, yeah, have you heard about this guy? He's a mysterious figure in this area. And he, like, feeds information. I'm like, oh, so it's him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, in no surprise whatsoever, that's exactly who it was.
And basically he just set up Harold because he wanted to get revenge.
Yep. And, you know, Red comes to the rescue. So that basically Harold now has decided, you know, he had decided in the beginning that he was going to tell Central Justice about Reddington's real identity. And now he's like, no, I guess I won't because, you know, he's a good guy and he helped me out.
Basically, yeah. Also, Katerina Rostova gets Liz's new nanny to quit.
But in the most honest way possible, like straight up tells her, oh, do you know who Raymond Reddington is? Yeah, that's her dad.
Yeah. Oh, and look, this is Katerina Rostova. That's her mom. She's even more dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, of course, last minute, Liz needs her to, to fill in. And then, of course, she's going to.
Oh, I'll spoil her right to death.
Liz is so foolishly, blindingly blind trusting this neighbor.
I'm really hoping. It
makes no sense based on how smart Liz is, as they've established the last fucking several seasons.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that in the end, like, all of a sudden Liz is going to, like, turn on her one day and be like, oh, did you really think you were fooling me all this time?
I hope so.
I've known since the beginning, and I've been letting you play your hand. When you bugged my house, I bugged yours. And then some, you know, yeah,
like I have video cameras. I have hidden cameras showing you me, you know,
right. I wanted you to become comfortable. I wanted you to feel safe here. And yeah, surprise.
I hope that's what they do.
I do, too, because they've done odd stuff.
How has Red not shown up at Liz's house for 3 episodes?
And that's the other thing that's leading me to believe that they're possibly playing the long con on Katerina, you know, letting her feel comfortable, letting her let her guard down.
Trailers?
Yep. I only got 2 of them.
What are they?
I know one of them's the one that you saw as well. I don't even know what that second one is. I'll have to look that up. It's one of those I saw it so early, but we got the final trailer for The Rise of Skywalker, which you had said, I'm not going to watch this. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to have to watch it. And then I did watch it. Then you were like, oh, my God.
I got me read the feels. Yeah, I'm excited. And actually, after we stopped recording last week, we bought our tickets to The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So
we're going on December 20th or 21st, whatever the Friday is.
Yep.
7:45 p.m.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be legend. Wait for it. Dairy. Legendary.
Yeah, not going to lie. I'm pretty damn excited.
Saw a trailer for the Grudge remake.
I saw that existed.
Trailer looks good.
Yeah.
It's got Cal Penn in it.
Oh, really?
No, wait. Not Harold Kumar. Not Kumar Harold.
John Cho.
It's got John Cho in it. Thank you.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks. Sam Raimi's producing it. It looks like it's not a sequel. It's essentially a remake, but it's a new twisted vision of the original type story. It looks good. I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll go to the theaters, but I'm going to watch it.
Okay. Yeah.
What was your other trailer?
It's one that I didn't actually watch. I saw that it existed and wrote down the title, hoping that I would remember to watch it later, and I didn't watch it. So
what was it?
It's called Bullets of Justice, and it's got Danny Trejo. So
interesting.
Yeah. Bullets of Justice is a film made by Valerie Milev and Timur Turabiskov. Initially, it was shot as a pilot episode of a series in 2017, but in 2019, after reconsideration of a concept, it was extended into a full feature film premiering at London Fright Fest. But like I said, it has Danny Trejo, so.
Yeah. I like Danny Trejo.
Yeah. Everybody likes Danny Trejo.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
And for good reason, because it's Danny Trejo.
Well, I guess that's it for this week. We're going to talk about Mr. Robot next, so unless you want some Mr. Robot spoilers, we'll catch you next week or after you watch the episode.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Did you see, by the way, that last week's episode, a friend of mine was saying that she was going to listen specifically to hear my thoughts on Letterkenny, and I'm like, we might be fighting after that.
Were you fighting after that?
No, okay. No. You know, her comment afterwards was, no, I didn't expect that you'd like it. You know, different taste for different people, but at right. least you tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Mr. Robot, episode 404, not found.
Let's do like what we do with This Is Us and just tell one story at a time.
Okay.
I want to start with Dom's story. It's the easiest. It's the shortest.
And
because there's three stories in this episode. There's yeah. Elliot and Tyrell. There's Dom. And then there's what's the sister's name?
Darlene.
Darlene and Santa Claus.
So, yeah. And plus, Dom's is the one that starts off the episode.
Yeah. Dom's rubbing one out to Darlene. Her
Darlene's
video.
Interview, like, yeah. interrogation yeah. video.
Even her, like, zooming in and, like, pausing on Darlene, licking her lips and stuff. Like, yeah. damn.
And, I mean, she's got her hand right down her pants. Kudos oh, yeah. for, you know, go Grace Gummer for really selling it.
So then she goes to some chat room. Like, Kate and I were just talking about this the other night.
It was an IMC. It was an IRC. Sorry, Internet Relay Chat. So it was yeah. basically an old instant messenger kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was,
which some people do still use.
Well, Kate and I were talking about the other night. Like, remember the AOL, you know, message rooms and da da da. Yeah, I kind of miss those. Yeah, me too. Like,
yeah.
not so much the sex ones, obviously, but just in general, like, just going to a group and not having like and having a live chat going on as opposed to, like of. Even just strangers. I don't know. It doesn't matter. And then to see her kind of go to one, I was like, oh, they do exist still. So she hooks up with some usual fellow that apparently online she likes dick.
Okay. And I had to write down, because we've seen this character before, you know, because the character was like, oh, did you miss me?
Yeah.
And the screen name was Happy Hard on Harry yeah. 806, which is great because in Pump Up the Volume, Christian Slater's character was Happy Harry Hard on.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Love it.
That is hilarious.
Love the throwback.
And essentially, we see that she dozes off and then wakes up and then is like, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm falling asleep. And then Harry's like, maybe we should meet in IRL and fuck. And then she's like, you know what? In real life, I like girls. Oh, I'm a girl. Really? Yeah.
No and the way. Fact that at that point she was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And they show her, like, moving to different rooms of the house, yeah. like, kind of, like, biting her fingernails, like, do I really trust this person? But she does, stupidly.
Bites her over to the house. This girl shows up.
It's a dump.
They split a beer. She starts touching her down below. Dom's like, no, hold on. Let me do something. I'll be right back. And she goes in the bathroom, and all of a sudden there's candles everywhere and rose petals on the floor and rose petals in the tub and she doesn't know what's going on, and she turns around, and the girl walks in wearing a Black Army mask.
Yep.
And then basically proceeds to drown Dom.
And keeps telling her, stop struggling so much, stop trying to fight it, just realize you will never be free again. You will always be under our control.
And Dom drowns, but then wakes up because it was all a dream.
And what was interesting was she woke up in the calmest fashion. Like, a lot of times movies and stuff will show somebody waking up from a nightmare and, like, they sit straight up and they're like,
and they're covered in sweat and tangled hair. But no, she was calm as can be.
This was realistic because I'll tell you what, for me personally, I've had lots of nightmares. Not like that, but I've had lots of nightmares. And when you wake up, that's how I always am. Like, just waking up and like, okay. Wow, I don't really want to go back to bed right now. That sucked.
We're just a little confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like, damn.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. And then you're just like, I don't want to go back to bed. Maybe I'll go take a piss. I'm pretty sure if I close my eyes again right now, I'm going to be right back in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, so again, we always talk about it with this show. I love that level of realism.
Yeah.
Nobody sits bolt upright in their bed. And
that doesn't happen,
no.
I did enjoy Darlene's story.
Mm.
Darlene records one of those scathing messages on her brother's voicemail. He doesn't answer. Us cursing him out and on
Holy
and on.
Holy God, she went off on him.
And it gets done and deletes it and then sits down and goes, hey, buddy, trying to get a hold of you. You know, like people have done in real life.
Yep.
She goes to steal a car. She gets stopped by a drunk Santa Claus.
Was awesome.
And he can't find his car keys once, so if he can start her, she can start his car. And she's like, are you serious, guy? And then he has to go upstate, so she agrees to give him a ride home. She can borrow his car after. And then essentially her story...
Because she has the tracker on Elliot's phone, so she knows that...
She's trying to find Elliot.
Yeah.
So she starts following... she drives this guy home, and I love when they get to the... I don't notice it right away. But along the way, like, he's talking about his wife, you know, he... He does this every year. They go see sick kids. He's got a great story. They go see sick kids. Afterwards, they tie one on.
Well, I love how he says that. He goes, we've got a tradition after we see the kids. And she goes, what's the tradition? He just looks at her and he goes, we get drunk.
Yeah.
Like, that's the tradition.
And he's sad because his wife's not doing it with him this year because she had an accident. And da-da-da-da. And, you know, my buddy Jimmy, you know, killed himself and this and that, and then he's like, pulls out a little nip and a bottle of pills. She's like, what's that? Like, oh, they're Percocets. And so basically, this whole ride home, you think that he's sad, he's depressed, the things he's saying, his wife's dead, you know, the kids are depressing, he's going to overdose and he's going to overdose on these pills and kill himself, and you know, on and on and on. And you think this guy is sad, depressed, and going to die, and she thinks the same thing. My favorite part is when he pulls up, she pulls up to the house, it is thoroughly decorated.
Like the only one in the neighborhood.
Like national, almost like National Lampoon style as far as light coverage, but not as many lights.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't notice it straight away until she goes, what's that? And he goes, oh, hey. And it cuts again. And I notice, oh, his car's in the driveway. That's my car. Oh, and that's right.
They look very similar.
Kenny, it's the same car. Yeah. Kenny drove us down. And then he gets out of the car and he says some, you know, profound like goodbye to her. And then she's like, wait.
Because he says something about goodbyes are so final.
Yeah. And he's like, I was quoting Steinbeck. I'm talking about Jimmy Stewart. You know, it's a Wonderful Life, a classic. My wife just hurt her back putting the Santa Claus on the roof. You know, like, I'm great.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm so glad to be home. You know, like.
Yeah. And, so the Percocets are for her.
Yeah. And she's like, well, then. And she's all confused. And then he asks her, like, are you okay? And she, like, pours her heart out about how everyone in life is gone. Everyone in life is dead. All she has is a brother. And he's basically an asshole. Treats her like shit. And Santa Claus at first didn't have anything profound to say. He's like, oh, okay.
And he goes to the house. He turns around and walks away.
But then he does come back.
Yep.
And says something to her, whatever. And then she heads out. And then last we see her, she's driving, trying to get to her brother. Well, no, she was heading back to New York City at first.
Yes.
And then realizing, oh, I have to go back.
Because we kept seeing her intercut with what was going on in the other story. And it was a little bit confusing because, to be honest, jumping ahead here, I kept expecting her to, like, plow them over.
Or something. I did too. I kept expecting her to show up.
But instead, she just kind of pulls over.
Yeah.
And starts pounding the wheel and screaming, ah, in frustration.
So Elliot and Tyrell's story is interesting.
God. Oh, I just love how they keep using Rami Malek and Christian Slater.
Oh, yes. This was brilliant in this episode.
God, they're so good. Like, even to the point where he's walking away and Christian Slater's still sitting on the railing with the guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, which one of these is the body? Oh, anyway, sorry. Go on.
Yeah. So it opens up with how it ended last week, except we get the point of view of the guy in the van.
Because just a schlup.
The way the episode ended is like, oh, they're listening, and then it fades over to like some guy sitting in a van, and now we get the guy in the van sitting there, and he's listening in, and you know the radio's messing up, and the antenna's messing up, and you know Elliot's talking, and this and that, and so he goes to get out of the van to go fix the antenna, and there's Tyrell who beats him in the head with a hammer,
and
for all intents and purposes, he's dead.
Yep.
And so Tyrell is basically like, all right, this is what we got to do. We need to wipe those computers. And we need to go dump the body. Let's go. And they head out in the van and go end up at this backcountry gas station way off. And they do a cool thing where Darlene's looking at her phone and it shows the map where Elliot is. And then the map fades to them pulling into the gas station.
Yeah.
Where, you know, what's plus in the gas can is apparently when you're going to burn a vehicle up, you got to use 89 octane, not 87.
Also, as a former petroleum transfer technician,
yes,
by trade,
yes,
the way that he just lifted up the thing and pressed the button,
yeah,
it wouldn't work.
No, those pumps don't work that way.
No,
that pump did not work.
No, it has to be authorized from inside because he just like hit the button and then immediately started pumping gas.
You have to make the selection if you're going to pay inside or outside on the pump itself.
And
if it's not set up for prepay, you can hit pay inside and you're good. However,
but he didn't do that.
No, he just
and there was no intercom with the woman saying, "Hey, you're going to pay inside." You know, little mom and pop place like that in the middle of nowhere, they're not going to authorize somebody that time of night in a white panel van.
And those tanks are too far away from the store.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. No.
We got this shit figured out.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Robot, you may have the hacking shit down to a goddamn science. But your depiction of gas stations is way off. I love the nightmare thing, but no, gas stations are way off.
They go in the gas station, and that lady is annoying as shit.
Oh, my God.
And, oh, you can't use eCoin because the internet's down. And, of course, there's no cell reception on their phones.
Because the internet's down.
Yeah, and then she recognizes Tyrell, but can't figure out from where. And...
what she say? It was like Big Brother?
What about Big Brother? He's like, yeah, I'm on Big Brother. Oh, okay, that's cool. And then he finally pays with cash. Just take the money, let's go. They go outside and the van's gone.
Yeah.
I thought he was dead.
It's like a Weekend at Bernie's kind of thing. Yeah.
So they go back inside, and I like this part where the woman recognizes him as being Tyrell. And, and new CEO of E-Corp or whatever it is.
In the middle of telling them that the only way that they're going to get to the next town is to take the shortcut.
Yeah.
That's all she'd say.
Yeah, take the shortcut. And then, you're a Tyrell. And then finally Christian Slater's character explodes. Like, where's the fucking path? We just want to fucking go.
Because we had Rami Malek who keeps saying, look, can you just tell us where this is? Can you just tell us where? Yeah. Can you just... And then, yeah, like you said, Christian Slater just barrels up there. What the fuck, lady? Just fucking tell us where it is.
Well, you're rude. It's across the street. There's the path. And they head out to walk through the woods.
Yeah, because she tells him, like, you got to walk so far. And then once you hit the stream, you've got to turn left. Make sure you turn left or else.
And they go walk.
You and I have walked through the woods many times.
Yeah.
As children, as adults.
Yeah.
Would you ever do that?
No.
Upstate New York, middle of nowhere.
In the winter, night. In the snow, on an unmarked trail.
Yeah.
Without a flashlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No.
No. No.
Fucking stupid.
No.
All the cell service is down.
I'm going to walk on the main road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to stay to the main
road. I don't care if it takes an extra 6 hours.
Yeah.
I'm not going out in the middle of that fucking woods.
Yeah.
There's shit out there that's going to eat you.
And they kept hearing a weird noise. Or Tyrell kept hearing a weird noise.
Okay.
I don't think that either Mr. Robot or Elliot could hear it.
Right. Because, again, your knowledge of Maine wilderness.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize that noise.
Was not any known animal I could think
of. Okay.
No.
That's what I said as well. Yeah. And I've heard some weird animals.
Yes.
I've heard fishers. I've heard, you know what I've been hearing a lot lately?
What?
Have you ever heard the thing called the vixen's cry that foxes do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dying dog somewhere.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God, I got to go rescue that dog. No, it's just a fox marking his territory.
Right.
Yeah, I've been hearing that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've never heard that noise that kept happening. I kept waiting for it to be a coyote, but it was not a coyote. And there was only one of them, so coyotes run in packs.
So Tyrell and Elliot are both tensed up because they're like, the Dark Army's going to know. They're going to come find us. They're going to kill us. This is the end of us. And they're walking through the woods, And I don't remember if they're – I think they got back to the main road. And they're right back where they started.
Yep.
They walked in a big circle, basically. And that's when Elliot loses it on Tyrell. Because earlier, Tyrell's like, you don't care about me, do you? You never cared about me. And now Elliot's like, yeah, I don't fucking care about you. I don't care about anyone else. And he loses his mind on Tyrell.
Yep. And once again, we get the narration by Mr. Robot.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
And then we get Elliot coming back and saying, look, I know we're dead. The Dark Army's going to kill us. Yep. I get that. But I need to warn my sister. So we need to go so I can warn my sister. And Tyrell's like, oh, that gives me something to live for a little bit longer. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And they head out. And they walk down the road, not too far even.
Nope.
They find a dead deer.
Yep.
And then a little bit further down the road, the white van crashed.
Yep.
And, of course, tense music now. Elliot looks through one side, and he gets shot. The guy with the brain damage is driving. And he shoots out at Elliot, and he shoots out at the other window. And then, you know.
But he also shoots out the door.
Yes.
Like through the door panels.
Yes. And then Elliot looks back in and the guy shoots himself in the face.
Yep.
Dark Army, kill yourself style.
Yep.
Which, really, at that point, I'd want to kill the people that just tried to kill me first.
Right.
Because obviously they thought I was dead, so they're not going to question me. Most
it's
likely.
Like those people that have cyanide pills, you know?
Fair enough.
Same kind of thing.
And then, of course, we see that Tyrell's been shot.
Because, of course, he is. That was the only part that really bothered me.
He was gut shot.
Yeah. And he had said earlier when he heard that noise, he said that's the sound of death.
Yep. And Tyrell walks off to die. And he hears the noise again. And he follows it. And it's like a big light that he's following. And he looks at it. He seems happy. And the thing is screeching. And then everything fades.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He basically, you know, Elliot's like, no, I need you. I can't do this without you. And he's like, I'm just going to go take a walk.
And it didn't fade to dark. It faded to light.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
But he tells Elliot he needs to finish this and take care of White Rose.
Yep. So.
I'm like, oh, they're cleaning up. At first I thought, okay, they're killing Dom. Cool. And then she's alive. I was like, all right, well, I'm glad, I guess. And then, oh, they brought back Tyrell just to kill him. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they got to clean up all this mess, clean up all these characters.
Right.
I wonder if they're going to give us the finality of this show so, like, they can't say, oh, the fans want more episodes a few years later. No, there is no more. It's done.
The way I understand it, this is it. It's finished.
But it was good.
I enjoyed it a lot. The next episode looks even better.
I did not see any next time on, so what's next time on?
No, I'm not even going to say it. It looks good. I'll just say that.
Okay.
But...
All right, well, I'll accept that answer then.
Okay.
So that's it. Anything else you want to add to this week?
Negative, sir.
All right, well, until next week, we will talk to you later on the Twitter. I'm Superstar ML.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that's the show.
Later.